All right, as we normally do, we are presenting this previous Sunday's broadcast of Spiritual Perspectives. But notice that we are doing it on Tuesday this week instead of our usual Wednesday. Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Our theme song followed by Passage.
Well, it seems with you there is something new every time I turn around. Oh, I never really know when what to expect, but it won't get me down. Cause I know you bring each and everything just to teach me how to live. And the secret of it all is trusting in you and the wisdom you.
I'm definitely going to let you hear some more of that. You know I am. But I wanted to let you hear a little bit right then. The song is entitled Faith Walking People. And that's what we're looking at today as we continue our discussion of Spiritual Perspectives - Health Matters. Yes, indeed. I want us to be thinking about it that way, too. Health matters as we take a look at how God has the ability to heal the soul as well as the body. Or if you prefer to look at it this way, the body as well as the soul. His primary interest, contrary to what some believe and teach, is the soul. The soul is God's primary interest. And that's why the Lord Jesus was willing to say, although he didn't really, many would tell you he didn't mean this literally, if your eye offends you, if it's just so difficult for you to stop lusting with your eyes and pull your eyes out, because it's better for you to go into heaven with one eye or no eyes than to go into hell with both eyes. And of course, his real point was work as hard as you need to work in order to look through eyes of purity. But the main thing is, remember this, we're taught in Scripture that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save man from his sin. When the angel conveyed the message to Mary that God had instructed him to convey to her, he told her what her son's name would be. He said, because he will save his people from their sin. It is not that he didn't care about the physical condition, because we know when the Lord Jesus was on this earth, he was healing people of all kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of diseases, all kinds of afflictions, including paralysis. But his primary concern was the soul. And that's why when the angel conveyed to Mary what her son's mission would be, he zeroed in on the condition of the soul by saying he will save his people from their sin. And it's a fact, ladies and gentlemen. We can get into heaven. We can be received in heaven. God will receive us into heaven with paralyzed bodies. You know, if our bodies are paralyzed on this earth and we die paralyzed. If we die with our bodies paralyzed, but our souls were in contact with him, our souls were in connection with him, we had submitted to him as Lord and Savior, then he'll still receive us into heaven when we die, even though our bodies were paralyzed. A person can have cancer in their body, and that cancer just ravaged their bodies. As long as they were united with Christ when they died, the cancer won't prevent them from being received into heaven. The fact that they were united with Christ guarantees that they will be received into heaven. They will be able to live in the presence of God forever. However, if a person is in excellent physical condition, they work out 3 or 4 days a week, 50 to 60 minutes each time, all of their lipid profiles and other lab tests show that they are in excellent health. They're strong, they're vibrant, they get their proper rest, they eat well. I mean, physically, they are truly outstanding. But they're not united with Christ. They have refused, for whatever the reason, to unite with Christ, accepting Jesus as their master and as their rescuer, their almighty Savior. Their body will be buried and will begin to deteriorate, and their souls will not be received into heaven, and their souls will deteriorate also. Jesus' primary concern, the soul. And here's the thing. Our bodies die. It doesn't matter whether we were super healthy or very, very sick when we died. If we were united with Christ when we died, you know, we were in union with him. We decided, Lord Jesus, I want you to be the one who rescues me from the power of sin, so that I don't let sin dog me anymore, have me doing all kinds of stuff. No, I want to do right more and more and more. And so I'm submitting to you and asking you to give me your Holy Spirit, so that through him, by the strength he gives me, I'll be able to live a life pleasing to you and pleasing to the Heavenly Father, pleasing to the Holy Spirit who will be living inside of me. If that's our relationship with the Lord Jesus, whether our bodies were very healthy when we died or whether our bodies were very sick when we died, as long as that body's in the ground, it's going to continue to deteriorate more and more and more. But our spirits will be with God Almighty in heaven. And here's the thing. If we were in relationship with Christ when we died, eventually, at the time that it has been determined that the raising up of those dead bodies will come, raising those dead bodies back to life. And one of the things that we're taught is everyone's going to be raised back up. Everyone, whether they're in relationship with Christ or not. But here's the thing. Those who died while having an intimate relationship with Christ will have their bodies raised back up to reunite with their spirits, and their bodies will be made majestic. Those who died without being in relationship with Jesus Christ will have their bodies raised back to life too, but their bodies will be pitiful. Their bodies will reunite with their spirits, and both spirit and the body will be pitiful for all eternity. The only time that we have to join with Christ is while we're on this side of life and this temporary phase of life. That's it. After that, it's all over. And that's why the Lord's primary concern is the soul. I didn't say that's his only concern. I said that's his primary concern. So that should be our primary concern. Now, that said, he is concerned about the health of many, 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 many people. And we see the Lord showing that concern in 2 Kings chapter 5 as we take a look, as we continue to look at power. And we're focusing on healing right now. And you remember we were talking last about Naaman, the commander of the army, not of Israel's army, but of Aram's army, the king of Aram. He was the commander of that army. And we talked about how at the time that country was really just kind of dogging Israel, because Israel had put themselves in position to be dogged because of their, again, persistent rebellion against God. We talked about how Naaman had been struck with leprosy. He was sick with leprosy. And the Israelite girl who served his wife said, if only my master would go see the prophet in Samaria, he would heal him. And we talked last time about how Naaman went to Israel, finally made his way, because when he went to Israel at first, he went to see the king with a note stating that, hey, my man is here for you to heal him. The word got out to the prophet Elisha that this commander of that army was there to be healed. And he sent for him. The man made his way to where Elisha was. And the man, Naaman, thought, as we mentioned, that God's servant, the prophet Elisha, would come out, wave his hand over the spot while calling on the name of the Lord his God and cure him of his leprosy. When instead, Elisha told Naaman to go to the Jordan River and wash himself 7 times, Naaman was outraged because the man of God didn't come out and procure the healing the way Naaman had decided he would receive his healing. Fortunately, some of those who were there to assist him, to support him, accompanying him on his journey, were able to help him see this from a more reasonable perspective. Hey, look, if the man had asked you to do something great, would you not have done it? And they were finally able to help him see he needed to simply obey and go to the Jordan River, despite the fact that, as Naaman said, there were better bodies of water than the Jordan River in his country. But that's part of the issue. Obedience. This is not the most beautiful body of water you could be dipping yourself in. But this is the one that God had his servant tell you to dip in, to wash yourself in. So Naaman, at the urging of his assistants, went to the Jordan River and he dipped himself 7 times in that river. Now, remember what I shared with you last week by way of wrap up of this review. He could have simply been told, just dip once in the Jordan River. And he could have dipped once. But maybe once would not have been enough for Naaman, the great commander, general, if you will, of this army, this mighty army that was wreaking havoc in their part of the world. Maybe dipping one time would not have been enough. One of the things that we discovered as we went on, well, we'll get there. I mentioned to you last week that there was more than likely a progressive softening of the heart, softening of the attitude, changing of the mind and the thought process, the actual brain of Naaman, each time he dipped in that unpleasant water, the unpleasant Jordan River. He went down, he came up once. He went down, he came up a second time. And as I mentioned, effort had to be applied to go down into the water and to come back up. He wasn't just standing there, just letting someone pour water on him. Did it require a ton of energy? Probably not. But it required some energy. And look, his brain had to be engaged each time. He was told 7 times. Not 8, not 5, 7. So his brain literally needed to have been engaged the whole time so that he dipped the exact number of times he had been directed to dip into that water. So each time, not only is physical energy being exerted, but mental energy is being exerted. The Bible doesn't tell us that this happened, but I can just imagine Naaman having an easier time dipping the third time than the first time. Hey, you know what? This isn't so bad after all. The fourth time, you know, I did come to him asking to be healed. It really isn't that big a deal that I was told, hey, if you want to be healed, dip in this Jordan River. The fifth time, and his mind and attitude are just changing as his heart and his attitude are softening. Not just towards the idea, the concept of dipping in the water, but the act of dipping in the water, and therefore softening towards the one who directed him to dip in this water 7 times. And you have to remember, Naaman said originally he had expected the prophet to come to him, come out to him, wave his hand over the spot while calling on the name of the Lord his God. Naaman's faith was great because his faith was not that the prophet would heal him. When they indicate to us that Naaman expected the prophet to call on the name of the Lord his God, you have to understand what that meant to those people. To call on the name of the Lord his God meant the prophet was not going to be relying on himself to get Naaman healed. The prophet was going to be relying on the Lord his God to heal Naaman. And it meant something to Naaman that the prophet would be relying on the Lord his God to heal Naaman. Waving over the spot, Naaman realized that the prophet was simply the person through whom the Lord God would work to effect the healing that God himself would actually be giving. So Naaman's faith was in the Lord God from the time he struck out to make that trip. So while he's dipping the fifth time, his heart is softening not only towards the process, but towards the one who directed the process, God. And as the story goes, we get back to this. We are going to see what has happened as a result of this dipping process. Say goodbye to the people.